The Good News Hour is with you once again, and your speaker today is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And I should like to speak to you on the subject of good works, and we're going to look at this in the light of God's precious and holy word. On one occasion when our Lord Jesus Christ was here, he said, "Ye do always err, not knowing the Scriptures and the power of God." And so I would say that there's perhaps more confusion on the subject that we're about to introduce than any other one subject within the lids of the Word of God. Now, it is true that the Word of God has a great deal to say about works, and so we shall look at it in this way. First, wicked works, and good works, dead works, and salvation without works. Now, you might make a notation of these headings, and we'll turn to the Scriptures and read them one by one. We shall, however, begin in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 9, and we'll read beginning at about verse 11 and reading through verses 15. And perhaps you all know that this epistle has been frequently called the Epistle of the Better Things. And of course, it sets forth in clear distinctness what we have as Christians, as believers, in contrast to what characterized Judaism. So with that on our hearts and minds, we shall proceed. "But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh," now note this, "how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now underscore those two words, dead works. And so we have brought before us the value of the one efficient sacrifice, all sufficient to forever end the sacrifices that characterized Judaism, those that were offered by the priests under the law. Now, of course, they did not, those offerings, numerous as they were, did not and could not take away sin. They merely covered over sin, appeased God for the time being, but pointed forward to Calvary, to what we have read you today, when the endless round of activity, and you could put upon it the label, dead works, was to end forever. You see, when the priests presented the sacrifices and offered them, they were dead sacrifices. They all must be slain, and that was the end, so far as they themselves were concerned. But when our Lord Jesus Christ was offered, he rose again the third day, and there never needs to be a repetition. No, no, there's no such thing as a continual sacrifice. When he had by himself offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down. That is the end, thank God, perpetuity. And there never needs to be another sacrifice. Now, that ended, shall I say, dead works. Now, may I point out to you that the Jews' religion was manifestly ordained of God and the only religion ever that had the stamp of our God upon it. And that religion, even ordained by God, could not suffice him, did not meet the need fully. And so, the only one that could meet the need and fully meet the need of our God was the offering up of his dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, shall I say that what is pictured by these sacrifices or by dead works, now let's keep this before us. We're speaking first of dead works, and that's what characterizes, as we've said, Judaism, the offering up of the morning lamb, the evening oblation, and then the sacrifices on special occasions. These were but dead works. And so what it really pictures is men and women today who would try to gain the favor of God by presenting to him that never could meet his holy eye and that could never satisfy him. Well, says someone, what is it that could not and does not satisfy God on the part of man? And that is to say, man's offering. Well, to keep the ordinances, so-called, that would not give a sinner a standing before God. If one has never been reached and saved by the grace of God, those would merely be regarded as dead works. And so we believe that the world today is full of men and women who have a profession, a name to live, but they are dead. They've never been born again. They've never been reached by the power of the Spirit of God. They've never been quickened. And, of course, you cannot please God. You cannot offer to Him good works until you are delivered from dead works. And that, of course, would represent doings of your own that cannot meet His holy eye. And so we have suggested then that dead works could be in the form of baptism, keeping the sacraments, giving money, so-called, for the good cause, and various other things that people so frequently cling to and hope that it will give them a standing or an acceptance before God. They are dead works. And so we would say, cast your deadly doings down at Jesus' feet. Rest in Him and Him alone, gloriously complete. Now shall we quickly pass on for a moment and say a little about the wicked works. You would find this in the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, and in chapter 1, and of course we have brought before us once again the blood, that is in verse 20, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, that is by Jesus our Lord. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now note this one. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled, of course, writing to a class of people who had been characterized by wicked works. Now, this, I may say, represents men and women who may have no religion at all, just the common rank and file, ordinary persons. And listen, don't be afraid of that word, wicked works. For you see, after all, God is holy, and you see there's evidence of this, not throughout the whole of the Old Testament and the New Testament too, and sin to Him is exceeding sinful. So that acts that may be committed by men and women who have not been born of the Spirit of God, and many of them well-meaning souls too, and this would come under the form or under the label of wicked works. Now, I wonder if you've been able to identify yourself. And this is the purpose of these broadcasts, in setting forth the Word of God, that you might be able to locate just exactly where you are, which characterizes you. And if, in other words, you're engaged in dead works, hoping that your efforts will attain for you the favor of God and give you a standing before Him, or on the other hand, you may say, well, my life has been more or less wicked and I have no link with Him. I belong to those described as alienated or cut off from the life of God. But we're glad to tell you, in either case, wherever you belong, you can be reconciled to God today in all the value of His perfect, spotless person and perfect work, and be reconciled unto Himself. Now we read to you about good works, and this is to be found in the epistle of Titus, Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Oh, I want you to see those words. You see, the apostle now is writing to men who no longer have that label, dead works or wicked works. They have been born of the Spirit of God, reached and saved by His grace, as the preceding verses in this chapter so clearly indicate, and we should come to it perhaps in just a moment if we can work it in. But he says now, to those who have been saved, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, writing to Titus. You tell the believers that they must be careful, that they must be careful to maintain good works. Yes, only believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can perform good works, and the least service we do, born of His Holy Spirit, is acceptable to God and well-pleasing to him, and in that coming day will be amply compensated. Oh, yes. We sometimes say deeds of merit as we thought them. He will tell us were but sin, little acts we had forgotten. He will tell us were for him. Now, if you've been saved, then it is your privilege to maintain good works. Is that not a precious thought? You can please that one who pleased not himself, but delighted the heart of God his Father. Now, just one thought I press as we conclude, that salvation is without works, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. However, quickly, in Titus 3 and verse 4, the apostle says, but after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. May God reach your heart today and help you to see just exactly where you stand. And if you've never come to him, come today as a sinner. Trust him with that soul of yours and be saved.
Thank you once again, friends, for giving us a few moments of your valuable time. And we trust that what you have been listening to has been profitable. And we're sure that if you gave us a hearing ear, it would produce something for God and something for eternity in your life. If you're one of the Lord's, may he establish you in these precious truths. If you aren't saved, may he give you to know that you can do nothing to please him until first you receive his gift. Now, if you'd like to communicate with us, this address will reach us, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Let's hear from you. Do it right today.